2013, Mr. Tim Burton, on his Twitter page, Cat Strangler 101, called Fayaz Mughal the controller of a website that claims to record incidents of hate crime against Britain's Muslim population, a mendacious, grievous-mongering taqiya artist. Mr. Mughal, who has received hundreds of thousands of pounds from the British government, has been proven to have falsified the statistics that his organization, Tell Mama, used. But in the country where Tim Burton lives, telling the factual and provable truth has now become a criminal offence. But receiving hundreds of thousands of pounds from the British government to then misinform, deceive and lie to the British public has not. In Britain today, because of the laws created by politicians from all three of the main political parties, which are then enforced by the British police, the truth now seems to have become illegal. A country where a proven liar, like Faisal Mughal, can telephone the British police and have them arrest Tim Burton and charge him with racially aggravated harassment. Because Fayaz Mughal was simply offended by what Tim Burton had to say about him. Over the years, we have seen our politicians erode the British people's right to free speech with the reintroduction of blasphemy laws, making criticism of anyone's religious beliefs, no matter how offensive those religious beliefs are to the rest of the population, a criminal offence. But as with the case of Tim Burton, we are now living in a country where our right to free speech is, because of our politicians' decisions, being eroded almost to the point of non-existence. We are increasingly not being allowed to express our own opinions on more and more subjects in this country. But in the case of Tim Burton and Faisal Mughal, we are now not even allowed to tell the truth without fear of being arrested by the British police. This is the country we live in today, but it is a country that I do not want to live in. A country created by today's politicians where a liar can have you arrested for telling the truth because the truth offends him. Britain's politicians, Britain's police, the Tell Mama organization, Fayaz Mughal, the truth is far more important to me than your feelings, your lies and the laws that you have created to take away my right to free speech. So I will join Tim Burton in saying, mendacious, grievance-mongering taqiya artist, and to hell with anyone's feelings. No matter what your political beliefs are, no matter what your religious beliefs are, and no matter what color your skin happens to be, I will not live in a country where having an opinion or telling the truth has become a criminal offense. And we must all help Tim Burton in this fight for freedom, free speech and the truth.
And welcome Kel back, everybody. If you still hear audio issues, believe me, I will just go into a completely different site and get back here. But I apologize for that. Like I say, I had been having some tech issues all week, and Cal Living, that's very good advice. What I'm going to do is that I'm going to clean everything up. But, oh, and Bigfoot, thank you. Bigfoot says I sound great, and I got my sound back. Fantastic. Thank you, gentlemen, very much for your help. Now, the topic at hand, if you scroll up, you're going to see some picture slides that I put there, and The topic tonight is no to Islamic enclaves. One in particular that I want to concentrate on is happening in my neck of the woods. This is happening in Thornhill, Ontario, and that is just that is a Toronto borough. Now, this is a very highly respected community. It absolutely is. Now the Muslims, they want to build social housing. They want to build this project, but it's going to be Muslim only, okay? They want to build a housing project designed for Muslims only. What are we to do? Well, we have to say no. Because we know what happens when the Muslims move in. They devour the neighborhood. We are seeing what is going on in London, England, in Tower Hamlets. Do we want a Tower Hamlets here in Canada? No. Do we want anything like Dearbornistan? No, we don't. I am really fed up with this because they're getting away with it. They're absolutely getting away with this, and it's time to stop it because, you know what, enough is enough. Now, there was a debate on the Muslim group's development plans. It drew quite a crowd. In the Vaughan City Council chamber, there were two overflow rooms. That's how packed it was. There was quite the lively debate about plans for an urban village in the heart of Thornhill Woods, a suburb north of Toronto. This is an unusually high turnout. It's usually a routine public meeting, right? But this one was so important that people turned out in droves in which they needed an overflow room. Two overflow rooms. And this is why. It's because the development proposal comes from a Muslim community organization. And this organization already operates the Jaffrey Center Mosque on the 30-acre site in the longtime predominantly Jewish area. So, yeah, there's religious undercurrents here. Absolutely. But the Islamic Shia Ithna Ashiri Jamaat, or the ISIJ, they want to build two 17-story towers and more than 60 townhomes, including retail space, condominiums, and associated living facilities for seniors at their location on Bathurst Street, south of Rutherford Road. The development will be geared toward the Muslim community. But however, they say anybody is welcome. It will be open to everybody, developer Shafiq Pujani says. In fact, it's something that the Ontario law obviously governs. There is a human rights code in place, and we fully intend to live to the letter of the law. Uh-oh, here we go. Did you hear that? In fact, it's something that the Ontario law obviously governs. There is a human rights code in place. Oh, my good grief. Oh, God. Oh, everybody, pronounce human rights code with me. Come on. And everybody, join me in saying human rights code. Oh, can everybody say civilizational jihad? Hello! Yeah, that's what they're doing. And you know what? They're doing it in this particular community. Now, we have communities. We have Italian communities. We have Chinese communities. We have Jewish communities. We have Greek communities. We have great communities. But that we don't need is a Muslim community, because they're not communities, they're enclaves. And now they have the audacity that they want to step in and they want to build this project right in the heart of an established Jewish community. Shame on them. They are shoving it in our faces again. Full disclosure, I am affiliated with the Canadian Jewish Defense League, and I support everything they do. I like helping them out. I don't do it very often because, as you all are aware, I am in the middle of nowhere, and when I go marching down the road, it's with farm animals. So it's very rare that I can get to Toronto, but believe me, if I could, I would every day. The Jewish Defense League is my endorsement. And they're sticking their noses in. They're absolutely sticking their noses in, and they're just creating dissension. And I find this abhorrent. I have tried to get in touch with Mayor Weinstein, and he is the national director of the Jewish Defense League. So whether he calls in or not, we'll wait and see. But all the same, the Islamic Shia, my apologies, Ithna Asheri Jamat. Oh, he assures that it would be open to everybody. Oh, and also on the words of developer Shafiq Panjani. And the human rights code is in place. Yeah, because they're just so damn persecuted in Canada, aren't they? Yeah. Now, Shaber Jaffer, he supports the development plan. And he told CTV Toronto the optics aren't great. And CTV Toronto is a Canadian television. That's a terrestrial television news site, ladies and gentlemen. He said the optics aren't great. He said, it looks like it's pitting Jewish people against Muslim people, and yet we have a reputation, our particular Muslim community, of being one of the most civic-minded and best, easiest people to get on with. Oh, get out of here! Are you kidding me? But there are opponents behind this proposal, and they don't care what's behind it. I'm one of them. There is an area resident by the name of Ram Kubi, and he chairs the Association to Preserve Thornhill Woods, a group that's campaigning against the proposal, saying the opposition has nothing to do with the religion. Well, you know what? If I were there, I would cite the so-called religion of peace. But Ron Kobe, he says, the new development, whether it was submitted by them or by another public constructor that would have wanted to build such neighborhoods in our area, we would have objected in the exactly same way. It has nothing to do with the fact that it's Jaffrey Center or any other developer in the area. But concerns about the proposal aired on that meeting this Tuesday. That included site zoning, design, infrastructure, potential impact on local traffic, amongst other things. You better believe it's all about Islam. I got a clip here. I'm going to see if I can bring it up. And I'm probably going to end up with a pop-up. Yeah, which I did. Got myself a little old pop-up here. But here. Let's bring it up. All right. No, I don't want to watch CSI. No, I'm not interested in family. No, thank you. Thank you very much. Can you please just give me my clip? Thank you very much. Oh, boy. Here we go.
It's a small part of the city that's the focus of a very large debate.
There are laws, there are plans, and there's basic considerations that go into being part of the community and being good and considerate neighbors.
At issue, plans for an urban village in the heart of Thornhill Woods, a series of townhouses and two high-rise towers with condos and assisted living facilities for seniors.
The proposal will create a monstrosity, three-story-high, continuous block of structures resembling cheap motels with long sections of tightly packed together dwellings.
Issues of zoning, traffic, and design drew hundreds of people to Vaughan City Hall tonight, filling the council chamber to capacity and two overflow rooms.
Even the politicians admit this is an unusually large turnout for what is essentially a routine public meeting on planning. What makes this discussion different is the underlying issue here, religion.
The plans come from a Muslim community organization who already operate the Jafari Community Center on the site. The group says while the development will be geared towards the Muslim community, anyone is welcome.
It will be open to everybody. In fact, it's something that the Ontario law obviously governs. There is a human rights code in place.
But not everyone is buying in, including the Jewish Defense League, who urge people to come out and protest Muslim-only condos.
It looks like it's pitting Jewish people against Muslim people, and yet we have a reputation, our particular Muslim community, of being one of the most civic-minded and easiest people to get on with.
But opponents maintain they'd be against the proposal, regardless of who was behind it.
The new development, whether it was submitted by them or by any other public constructor that would have wanted to build such neighborhood in our area, we would object it exactly the same way. It had nothing to do with the fact that it's the Jeffrey Center or any other developer in the area.
And so there you go. Civic-minded. Yeah, they're not. They're liars again. Because what happens is that they move in and they take over the community. If you read my show notes, I explain that briefly, not very well, but I do. I think that people understand that. Now, I was hoping that Mayor Weinstein of the Jewish Defense League could join me tonight, but I don't know if he's going to be here. But if he's not, that's okay, because I can get through this segment quite handily on my own. But he did have an open letter that he sent to Councillor Alan Sheffman. And like I say, Mayor Weinstein is the National Director of the Jewish Defense League. And I'm going to read that verbatim because I do have a lot of listeners from the Jewish Defense League that listen to my program. He sent this, like I say, to Councillor Alan Sheffman, City of Vaughan, at 2141 Major McKenzie Drive in Vaughan, Ontario, L6A1T1. And this is regarding the public hearing for file OP-13-013-NZ-13-036 Jaffrey Center. And he had this to say. He penned this on February 5th. Dear Councillor Sheffman, I attended the public meeting held at the council chambers on February 4th of 2014, and herein expressed my concern over the manner in which the meeting was conducted. I registered to make a verbal deputation, but was called away early due to an urgent family matter. I was present in the hearing room until approximately 10 p.m. I wish to state my complaint about the manner in which the meeting was chaired and suggest that there was a number of procedural violations that you allowed that should invalidate several of the deputants. I am troubled that you failed to adhere to the strict rules that you laid out at the inception of the meeting, which resulted in the application of a clear double standard regarding the deputations. You stated that the only information that you would allow to be presented were issued that related to matters regarding planning, zoning, and bylaw. I believe that you correctly sensed the proposal before council to be potentially incendiary, and you cautioned the public that racial remarks would not be tolerated. You made it very clear that each deputant was required to identify themselves by name and address in order to be heard. The first group of deputants who opposed the project adhered to these rules, clearly identified themselves as residents, noting their street addresses, and proceeded to address technical faults of the proposal. Your record will show that most of the second group of deputants who supported the proposal failed to identify themselves by residence, address, and further did not speak to technical matters, but rather tried to influence council with self-serving expressions of faith and community. This was not just my personal observation, but also the observation of many others who had contacted my office within the last 24 hours. I respectfully suggest to you that the testimony of those who breached your conditions of procedure should be invalidated and struck from the record. My deputation, in brief, is distilled in the following 2 points that relate to the broad public safety concerns and a breach of the Human Rights Code. And now remember, ladies and gentlemen, pardon me, my throat is dry. Remember, I'm sorry about this. Remember that Shabir Jaffer talked about the Human Rights Code and being within the letter of the law. And now I return to Mayor Weinstein's letter. I left off where he said, my deputation in brief is distilled in the following 2 points that relate to broad public safety concerns and a breach of the Human Rights Code. Mr. Weinstein's first point is, the Jaffrey Center poses a serious safety threat to the stability of the existing community as its public values are espoused on the Jaffrey website and are contrary to core Canadian values of democracy and tolerance. The Jaffrey Center reveres and pays tribute to the Ayatollah Khomeini, who is regarded as the father of the Islamic Revolution, representing an intolerant medieval, misogynist, and homophobic culture, hardly the cultural values promoted by the Canadian Charter. And he attached a document, and I would like to bring that up. But I'm just going to give you the cliff notes of what Mayor Weinstein included. He attached a document which was posted recently on the website of Crescent International, representing itself to be a publication of the Institute of Contemporary Islamic Thought, a document written by the leading members of the same Shia community with whom the Jaffrey Center has partnered in the past, a document using incendiary language that is clearly anti-Semitic. You will note that the same article contains a previous cover title, Tipping the Score, where the symbol of the Islamic Revolution and the flag of the terrorist organization Hezbollah are depicted as tipping the scales in their favor. I shouldn't have to remind anyone that Hezbollah is an organization that is recognized by the Canadian government to be a banned terrorist organization. Bingo, Mr. Weinstein. You nailed it. You got it. Now, Mr. Weinstein's point two. The president of the Jaffrey Center is on record stating clearly to the news media that the project is a Muslim-only development, and that is clearly in contravention of the Human Rights Code. And that was sent by Mayor Weinstein, National Director, Jewish Defense League Canada. Mr. Weinstein only asked that Councillor Alan Sheffman take this into account and consideration, in which I wholly support. This is an abomination of our Human Rights Code. I don't care what this character Shabir Jaffer says. I don't care what Shafiq Pujani says. I don't care what they say. They are pitting a community. Everybody's heard of that phrase, first comes Saturday, then comes Sunday. They are shoving it in our faces. I have seen this happen in the UK. I'm seeing this happen in the United States, and I don't like what I'm seeing one fucking bit. I do not want this in my neighborhood. Absolutely. No way. Not happening. I will do everything and anything I can to ensure that this enclave does not happen. Absolutely. Because you, that old saying, if you build it, they will come. And these are not what we want. Not by a long shot. So I'm going to move it on a little bit. And oops, I'm sorry. You know what I did? Well, it is, you know what? For God's sake. I'm going to rename my show the F-Bomb Show because I don't try to be gratuitous, but I do. I'm alone here. I don't have a co-host or anything, and so I can pretty much do what I want and get away with it. If Tim were here or Jeff were here, I wouldn't do it. But you know what? I am alone, and I allow my passions to overflow a little bit. And that's just how it rolls here at the RSB. When you let the Mad Fox out of the gate, oh boy, watch out. Oh, Agador, how about Kel's F-bomb? I should. Oh, Agador, Tim would never come back. But no, I'm serious. Seriously, I'm getting fed up with this. I'm getting fed up with the muscle, the Islamic muscle moving around. I had always bragged about how Canada, you know, we're so on top of all these issues and this and that and the other thing. But you know what? We really aren't, it would seem. It would seem that Canada is acquiescing to the Islamic demand. I don't care how you put it in a bow and you wrap it up and you make it look all pretty. That's not happening here. What they're doing is that they're bullying us. I don't care for whatever the Shia Ibn Ashari Jamaat ISIJ Institute has to say about staying within the letter of the law. But come on, like, ladies and gentlemen, 2 17-story towers and more than 60 townhouses, including retail space, condominiums, and assisted living facilities for seniors? Oh, God. In the heart of an otherwise established community, predominantly Jewish. This is beyond the pale. I am so proud that the Jewish Defense League had the town hall earlier this week in which they spoke about this, in which I'm bringing it to your attention, because if we don't have organizations like JDL to speak up against this in Canada. We have nothing. You have to understand something. We have a Canadian Defense League, but it is a Facebook page only. We don't have kinetic movement. We don't have boots on the ground in that Canadian Defense League. But we do have boots on the ground, and we do have busy people, and that is the Jewish Defense League. And that is where I throw my support behind. And believe me, they are speaking out, and they are doing something about it. And Agador, you're right. Not just seniors are going to be living in those spaces. Agador, absolutely. We know what's moving in. The third and the fourth wife and their pack of kids, or as I prefer to say, their passel of kids, will be moving in. And they will be dominating that neighborhood. You know, we already have an issue going on in that when you get a Muslim predominant population, they take over. I said that in the show highlights. I said that. When they move into town, they devour the neighborhood. And I've got a caller on the air, and I'm going to bring him on right now. Good evening.
Hello. How are you?
How are you tonight, Tim? Hi, Jim.
All right. Not too bad. I can't complain. I just got on, and I was listening, and then I'm reading about they want to have their own little living section up there, their own ghetto, so to speak.
That's what they want.
Well, isn't that discrimination? That's discrimination.
It is.
I mean, and where's the Canadian government on that issue? Well, you know, the Canadian citizen, the natural and natural-born citizens up there, they're being discriminated against because they can't go into what, if they get their way, a Muslim area. That's discrimination. I think the Canadian government ought to wake up. You know, I mean, you know, the shoe's on the other foot here with this. I mean,
oh, it is. Absolutely it is. And I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the clip I played, and I was discussing about what one of the affiliates behind this program had to say, and he was saying that Shafika Pijani, he said it would be open to everybody. In fact, it's something the Ontario law obviously governs. There is a human rights code in place, and we fully intend to live to the letter of the law. Jim, I see that as a veiled threat, in that the Muslims are saying we are operating within the Western law. Now, that is frightening. And this is what I mean, Jim, by civilizational jihad. They are totally here, and they totally want to take us over. And they're doing it legal step by legal step, one step at a time.
Like I said more than once on your shows, is that, like I said, when Pope John Paul was alive, he called for all the religious leaders, you know, Buddhists, Hindus, you name it. Let's have a meeting over at the Vatican. And it, like I said, this is when the Boston Globe was somewhat of a decent newspaper to read, but in their religious section, you know, they had an imam, and he was quoted saying, "We are going to use your own freedoms against you," and they are. And people don't want to stand up to speak out against them because you don't want to be called a religious bigot, which they're not a religion, and then you don't want to offend anybody. You know, this, I don't want to, you know, this touchy-feely, let's hug everybody, kumbaya, this is what's going to bring down Western civilization because Obozo here in the White House is allowing, you know, people who aided terrorists in the Middle East to come here to the United States to seek asylum. I saw that and I said, what is he doing? I mean, because, like, let's put it this way. A scenario, just for the sake of conversation. Something happens down here. on a terrorist attack or domestic war violence, as he called Fort Hood. So they flee to Canada. They go to this Muslim-only community, and they seek asylum. Canada will never return any citizen if they're going to be given the death penalty here in the United States, because that happened back in the 70s.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
With the Armstrong brothers.
That's right. You're absolutely correct, Jim, and that we have that treaty that we will not return an asylum seeker or somebody that finds their way to Canada, and if they're returned to the United States, that if they're facing the death penalty, we have to ensure that. There was that serial killer about 15 years ago, and he escaped to Vancouver, and he was caught. But Canada said, we're going to keep him in the Canadian prison, and the United States were trying to extradite him. And Canada said, you know what, we really don't want this dirtbag around. You can have him. But we do have a UN treaty in which we cannot return prisoners if they're going to be executed. The United States had to assure that he would face life imprisonment if convicted, of course, which he was. And so Canada said, okay, he's all yours, because we sure as hell don't want him.
Yeah, and so, I mean, you know, this is like opening up Pandora's box. I mean, you're letting these vile, foul people in your country, in the States, and if you say something wrong, you know, you're going to, you know, it's like some congressmen and senators, even people in the Department of Justice. Well, you can't say this about them. If so, we're going to arrest you. You know, we still have freedom of speech and the right to disagree. And like I said, when I read what's on your page here, I'm looking at the chat room. You know, Muslim only.
Yeah.
I mean, where's the outcry? I mean, until it happens directly to you or the guy next door, they don't care. The average person doesn't care. Well, let them come out. Look what they're going through. Yeah, look what you're going to be going through once they get established, because you and I have discussed it. Oh, you get one family moved in. Oh, they're nice and friendly. They wave and everything. You get two families. It's so-so. Then when you get about a half a dozen families, screw you, infidel. Get out of this neighborhood. People are going to have to
and
wake
up. And that's
exactly
it. And I like what Sarah Bella said in the chat room. She said that the Department of Jihad, and she's absolutely correct about that, because this is what we're turning ourselves into, is that we are allowing the civilizational jihad to take hold. And, Jim, I'm relating this story out of Toronto, Ontario, Canada, in that these people, well, I don't know what to call them. Jim knows I have issues about Quran animals. But when they do this, it's in your nose, in your face, but they're working within the law, and it disturbs me greatly that they can work around our constitutions and they can work around our legalese, and they can do this. And they want this want this enclave. And I explained at the beginning of the show that we have a wonderful Jewish community here in North York. And now they're wanting to move in, and they're wanting to upset the cohesiveness and the peacefulness of it. And it just drives me crazy. You in the United States, you're seeing this in Boston, and you're seeing this in, everybody is seeing this in Dearborn, Michigan. When you build it, they will come.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like just recently, I think it was Obama or the Justice Department, they did something about our security at the airports. I can't exactly remember what it was, but all I remember is that the Council of Arab and American Relations came out, and they were in favor of it. They were very happy about this being rectified. I just can't remember the whole story on it, but I do remember that, and it's just been recently, not even a week. And, you know, it's just like, okay, let's cave in. You know, I mean, I've always said it. You know, like there's one guy that Sean Hannity used to have on his show. he would say, well, we're going to get the green flag of Islam flying over the White House one of these days. And I'll keep saying it on this radio show, because if I was to say it on regular commercial radio, I would probably never get back on it. There's too many darn patriots up north in your country and my country that would not allow this. There are too many in our military that would not allow this. We would chase them right the hell out, ship them on a ship, ship them back to the sandbox country that they came from. I don't care who, like I said, I don't care who comes into my country. You assimilate. And now, like, you got this communist mayor down in New York City.
Oh,
he's closed,
God,
he's
don't even get me started on him.
Right, he's closing the schools for Muslim holidays.
Yes.
Now, what about the Buddhists and Hindus? What about the Buddhist and Hindu population? Isn't that discriminatory?
Yeah, what is going on there? Because we're facing this a similar issue in Canada, in that the Ontario government is entertaining the idea of closing the schools for Muslim holidays. Something I don't understand why we're kowtowing to this particular
political
group. We
don't want to offend
group.
Anybody. That's the bottom line. This it's like, you know, I'm a product of the 60s. I was born 1954, and I've seen next week's my birthday. I'll be 60. All right. And I'm seeing the remnants of that friggin' generation, the love, peace. Let's go out and cop a buzz, which, hey, I'm no angel. But this love, peace, let's hug everybody. They influence from your school committees right up to the national level. And, we're supposed to accept these people and their way of life. No, they're coming into your country, my country. You accept our way of life. We shouldn't be bending over backwards for you. You're welcome to stay. If you don't like how it is, beat feet and screw. That's as plain as you can get. And yet then, you got all these people because of laws that have been enacted up in Canada, which the late dead Kennedy tried to get hate speech. Well, what do you determine what is hate speech? Well, I don't like that Muslim because he said this, or I don't like this guy. I mean, next thing you got cuffs on your wrist and you're being escorted because your First Amendment rights here in the States are being, restricted. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, there's a little place in the Beachmont area of Revere. And I went in there one day. I wasn't really paying attention because I wanted to get my mother something, something to eat because she's in a home for dementia, Alzheimer's. Walked in there, and I didn't realize, holy man, it's Muslim owned, and it's got all the Muslim food in there and everything else. Everything is basically in Arabic, and the dirty looks I got walking into the store. I'm saying to myself, who the hell are you? I felt like saying it, but then, it would have caused a ruckus, and I'm infringing upon their rights and liberties and freedoms. But just the looks. I see that from other immigrants, not just Muslims, because we have a lot of stores, like 7-Eleven and what have you.
Yeah.
They're pretty much, people from India, whatever. And, as a matter of fact, there's one right around the store, right around the corner from where my mother is at in this home. And I walked in there one day. The guy followed me. And I'm saying to myself,
give me
a break. So I walked out.
Really?
I didn't buy anything. But, what I'm saying, I guess what I'm trying to say is, these foreigners, they come in. You don't hear much of the Hindus or the Buddhists. They're very nice, polite people and quiet. But these friggin' Muslims, they're going to push the envelope. And there's going to be such a backlash. And when government leaders from Canada, the States, and the UK, they're going to get such a backlash from the people. We're tired of you kowtowing to these people. Look what they've done. Look what they did to our city. Look at this. I mean, years back, when we had our troops going into Somalia, This is before Black Hawk Down.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There was a Marine.
Elaborate on that for the listeners. And by the way, can you see the chat room? Because you're getting kudos left, right, and center all over the place.
I wish I could get into the chat. I can't figure it out yet still. But Adid was his name. He was one of the chief warlords, and his son was in the U.S. Marines. Got an honorable discharge, and what did he do?
Wow.
He beat feet back to the dirt hellhole that he came from. And, of course, when the Marines went in, you know, to try to save those people from each other, to feed them, to give them medicine, they turned on the Marines, and then, of course, it escalated slowly under Bill Clinton until the Black Hawk Down incident, how they dragged those bodies through the streets. These are savages. This is all in the name of Islam. And today I was thinking that, gee, you know, before Muhammad went into Medina and Mecca, everybody lived in peace. You had Jews. You had pagans. You had people who didn't care, probably, or who cares about your God or these gods or whatever.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And when he went in there, He was slaughtering people, and they haven't stopped yet. So you're talking 2,000, just probably under, well, actually, what, he came around in, what, in the 800s? You're talking about 1,200, 1,300 years. They have been killing people to force their agenda on innocent people. I mean, there's no ands, ifs, and buts.
Well, what he did is that he absolutely declared a total war on the Jews, and that's after he got to Medina, and that it was devastating in that he did that, and there are so many examples of what Muhammad has done, and I'm just trying to bring up some notes here, and I'm just typing with one hand, so my apologies, but what he did is when he went into Medina and he slaughtered those Jews, 1,400, I believe, and I think that that pretty much should have set the precedent in that he was a murderer. Like, Muhammad was a murderer. Muhammad was a pedophile murderer, and that he was determined to eradicate the Jews, and we all know about the situation in World War II with Hitler when the imam from Jerusalem, the Grand Mufti from Jerusalem, was in cahoots with Hitler, and he said that, you know, we have to help you with the final solution, and Hitler actually said, no, now is not the time, but this is... this is Islam. This is what they do. They rape, they slaughter, they proselytize, they take over neighborhoods.
And you can't forget the Grand Mufti in Yugoslavia during World War II. This is what happened.
Yeah.
The Bosnian Muslims, they all were indoctrinated into the SS along with the Croats to exterminate the Jews. You know, people, you know, just can't follow the history. But, you know, I mean, I like history. I love history. But, you know, the Muslims, and like I said, so you figure when Muhammad came around, they have been killing and killing and killing since.
Yeah,
and they haven't stopped.
Exactly. And I just brought up my note. And ladies and gentlemen, just to let you know, I do not have an eidetic memory. I type with one hand, and I frantically try to collect my notes and bring them to you. But Muhammad's atrocity against the Khwarizmi Jews in AD 627, what he did was unbelievable. What I'm going to do is that I'm going to put this link right in the chat room for everybody to further educate themselves later. But, yeah, Jim, exactly.
No, I was just looking at what Sarah Bella said. If the Muslims didn't have people to hate, they would have no religion. No, they'd still hate each other because as much as they are Muslims and they follow Muhammad, the Sunnis, the Shiites, the Zoroastrians, And the Alawites did. They'll keep killing each other because the great grandfather or the great uncle of Mohammed. You know, I mean, it's such a hogwash so-called religion. But they would probably still kill each other today.
It absolutely is. And you know what? Yeah, the Shia and the Sunni, they've been after each other since Muhammad died. And I always say, and I do say this tongue-in-cheek, Jim, but what I say is that Muhammad was so stupid, he couldn't even leave a will for a successor. So they've been fighting back and forth ever since he died. And that, well, no, the uncle should have been the successor. No, the stepson should have been the successor.
Yeah, I mean, it's such idiocy, you know. And now they're saying now the jihadists are leaving Syria. Now they're heading into Egypt, and which hopefully the Egyptian government, the army, will put the hammer down. I mean, they kind of they kept the brotherhood at bay, you know, for such a long, long time since actually the foundation of the brotherhood back in the 20s. I mean, the Egyptian, you know, they kept them down and they rounded them up, put them in prison, and now the jihadists are leaving there to launch here, and now they're saying that Pakistan and Afghanistan are talking with the Taliban. See, I want to see all this commotion amongst the Muslim world. Let them keep killing each other. In Libya, I mean, you know, they bombed each other into the Stone Age, of course, with the help of Obozo and NATO. But the bottom line is, if we can keep them at each other's throats, it'd be perfect. But then we have to worry about the old saying, the fifth column. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's just like, you know, I told you when the two idiots there running around here in Boston after the bombing. And, you know, that's two guys. And look at all the commotion that they caused and how many police and what have you had to look for. God forbid they're probably organized anyway here in the United States and up in Canada, just waiting for Iran to say, okay, let's do it. I just don't understand how this Secretary of State, John Kerry, went over there and bowed down and kissed some feet, and yet then, you know, it's like they're blackmailing us. Well, if we don't get what we want, we do have our fifth column in the United States to launch whatever has to be done. You know, and the bottom
fifth column, and that's what Islam is. Islam, ladies and gentlemen, is the fifth column, and what Jim is pointing out. But Sarah Bella has a question from the chat room. She wants to know exactly, like, she keeps hearing about what's going on in the Middle East, and it's not very confusing when you break it down into components. But yeah. The infighting going on in the Middle East at this point is unbelievable, Jim. It's unreal.
I mean, now all of a sudden we're getting worried about the fact that the United States could be endangered from Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm listening to this, and I'm saying, I don't know how, you know, I remember reading it a couple of years back. The CIA found large deposits of titanium, lithium and gold in Afghanistan. It's not such a wasteland after all.
Mm-hmm.
And are we going to keep our troops there? You know, because of those vast and important minerals. I mean, what do you use lithium for? Batteries, titanium, for jets. And gold is gold. But, you know, I mean, no matter what, if Karzai makes peace with the Taliban, you're going to have remnants of the Karzai, you know, back as the Pashtuns, the Turkmens over there. They're going to go after the Taliban. It's never going to end because that's what they like to do. They just like to fight and kill each other, and I'm glad. I mean, you know, if they believe in this 72 virgins that all look like Helen Thomas, you know, good luck to them when they get to hell, you know. I mean, it's you know, I mean, you get Syria, you know, the Syrian government hasn't turned over all their weapons. I mean, they're just lollygagging, which I'm kind of glad, because before everything happened in Syria, it was pretty damn peaceful before they started. I mean, you've got Christians that are living there. You have Christians and Muslims. And the bottom line is, everything was fine, just like under Saddam Hussein before, you know, too bad. You know, it's, you know, we went in there and it was a mistake. If he had chemical weapons.
Yeah. And oh, absolutely. And I cut you off in midstream, but I want you to keep that thought because I have a question for you in that, yeah, Syria, we've known, has been a cesspool going on 30 years. We know that Libya was actually a vanguard against the swimming immigration from North African Muslims swimming into Europe. And we know that Lebanon was actually a Christian state. And we know that Egypt was also a Christian state at one point. And Egypt was actually very peaceful. But it seems that everything is falling to hell in a handbasket. It's been happening for the last 6 years, and I'm wondering, do you think that that has anything to do with the Obama administration? And I think I know your answer, but I just, for edification, I'm going to ask you that.
Yes. Can you hold on a second, please? Hold on.
Sure. As a matter of fact, you know what? What I want to do, if you would like to stay with me, are you doing dishes?
My dog was getting antsy. No, I believe the fact that how he has been towards Israel, it's emboldened the hard extremes of the Taliban, Hezbollah, Hamas, and various other governments like Somalia. I mean, they're in such disarray, and a couple of more from Gitmo Bay went back there. So this guy is letting them know, hey, I'm a cool president here. I'm going to let this guy go. You guys can do that, because they never cashed in on the uprising in Iran, which they somehow,
yeah,
some way, they should have started hammering, and they didn't want to do it. But I think,
yeah,
because of this knee-jerk president we have, he's encouraging them so much, and because you have a spineless attorney general here who doesn't want to enforce the laws of the United States, and if you say anything bad about them, you're going to go to jail, or we're going to make your life miserable. So the bottom line is, yes, this is, I throw this on this administration, not 100%, but a good 85, 90%. And, you know, like I said, I wish we would have left Saddam Hussein alone. I mean, of course, now you look back, you know, at first, let's go get them. But then after a while, look at it today. Fallujah is going to fall after the Marines make those big sacrifices over there.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, it was in March, oh, was it 2006, I think it was, when the Marines had Fallujah surrounded with snipers. They were picking them off. And I forget the cleric's name. You know, he cried uncle. Big mistake, and we caved in, and we said, okay. And then now today, jump forward, you look what's happening there. The bottom line is the United States has got to stop shedding blood, U.S. blood, young men and women, for the sake of what? That's the bottom line.
Well,
what are we accomplishing
over there? And I think it was the second battle of Fallujah that they were falling as well, because And you're right. I believe that was that. Actually, the second battle was in, I believe, 2004. But we've been there since 1968, and this is enough. Like we've got to stop this, Jim.
You know, the bottom line is, I love my country, but I think the government is doing things that they shouldn't be doing, sending young men and women to die,
yeah,
with no objective. What was the objective of Afghanistan? All they needed was 600 more troops, Rangers, whatever, up in the Tora Bora mountain range. They could have possibly had Bin Laden. Would have that ended the situation that has progressed since then? I don't think so, because they're just going to keep fighting and killing each other. And like
I agree with that. And you and I are always on the same page about that. Like, whenever you and I have a conversation, we are absolutely on the same page, because I see no resolution. I see no resolution, and why are we there? I interviewed a U.S. Marine not too long ago. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Jim, and he is a he's not retired. Well, he's RT, but he's a Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine. Semper Fi. But I talked to another Marine, and he was one of the caregivers at the Guantanamo Bay. And I was asking him about the foreign missions that we're sent on. And he said, you know, one thing, we're soldiers. When we're sent overseas and we're sent into foreign lands, we don't come back until the mission is accomplished. But, Jim, do you see this mission ever being accomplished? How many more do we have to lose?
Well, what will happen? Nothing in the Middle East with those people. Doesn't matter what country we're in. What country we're in is that they'll keep fighting, and we'll keep sacrificing young men and women, U.S. blood, and for what? Everybody complained, you know, the left, oh, Iraq, it's all over oil. Hold on a second. Can you hold on? I gotta do something.
You know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to take a break anyway.
Okay.
Do you want to stay with me, Jim? Because,
oh, yeah,
believe me.
I'll be right back in about 2 minutes.
You got her. And ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take a break, and we will see everybody back here in 2 minutes and 32 seconds.
An Iran who held us hostage for all the world to see. And Pakistan and Libya, you burned our embassy. And yesterday in your old San Juan, you shot my brother down. Pay back their hell sucker if they want to fool around. You're walking on the fighting side of me. When you're messing with our liberty, Mr. Terrorist, you better listen well. Get ready, hoss calls, payback's your hell. The Russians in Afghanistan are now invasion bound. In Bogota, Colombia, another embassy went down. Yes, these states are united in the American dream. Paybacks are helpful, don't make that eagle scream. You're walking on the fighting side of me. When you're messing with our liberty, Mr. Terrorist, you better listen well. Get ready, hoss calls, paybacks are hell. I hear your saber rattle with the unarmed in your land. Because we have respect for life, you force the upper hand. You've burned one flag too many, it's no more other cheek. Pay back for hell, coward, let's see your yellow streak. You're walking on the fighting side of me. When you're messing with our liberty, Mr. Terrorist, you better listen well. Get ready, hoss calls, payback's your hell. Get ready, hoss calls, payback's your hell.
And welcome back, everybody. And just to remind you, you're listening to the Red Fox Blogger, or RFB with Kelfritzy. And I want to thank people in the chat room who are joining me. Agador, Bigfoot, CLG, Sarah Bella, Eric Kyle. I have numerous guests. I've had people pop in and out, and I want to thank you all who listen on other devices. But I especially want to thank my dear friend Jim from Boston for joining me this evening. And Jim,
yep.
Welcome back.
Yeah, I want to get back to my point of, like, you know, Iraq with the oil. Mm-hmm. That's what the lefties, you know, were saying, oh, it's all over, you know, George Bush and his oil pals, you know, blood for oil. But it was more than that, of course, because, you know, we've got enough of our own here, which the progressive liberal socialists are fighting against, the Keystone Pipeline. But, you know, what it comes down to,
yeah.
You know, if only you could turn the time back and put Saddam back in power, because he would have been a great buffer zone, because he would have prevented Iran from having eyes on the rest of the Middle East. He would have curtailed most of the terrorists, because I do believe it was bin Laden wanted to go after him, because Saddam Hussein
yeah.
had a secular nation. You know, they had Jews and Christians in there. And, you know, this is what the bottom line is. Muslims do not want to coexist. Every time I see that bumper sticker on people's cars down here in loony liberal Massachusetts, it says coexist. I just want to give them the finger. You know, you dummies. You don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, gosh. No kidding. I found a picture slide that I use on the program every once in a while, and that is coexist with the Islamic sword running right through the other religions.
Yep.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean,
but we have a really interesting comment from the chat room, and that's from Bigfoot. And I'm just trying to scroll it back up so I can get it, because it was a really good one. And, Jim, I think that you would address this quite nicely, and that Bigfoot says that he strongly disagrees, with the idea that the war in Iraq was over their oil. If all we wanted was Iraq's oil, it would have been much easier and cheaper to end the sanctions and buy it.
Oh, no, I agree with that, because like I was trying to say before my mutt interrupted me, is that the loony left was always saying it's blood for oil, and it wasn't
uh-huh.
just that. I mean, it was, you know, Saddam was probably, you know, acquiring weapons of mass destruction. Well, I mean, where's his capability to strike the United States? Europe should be able to stand on their own to protect their southern flank. I mean...
Uh-huh.
This is it. I mean, the United States cannot be the policeman anymore. I mean, okay, I mean, between Iraq and Afghanistan, we're probably still, I mean, it's one life is one too many to be lost, but it's all for nothing. Because look at, like I said, look at Iraq. The jihadists, it doesn't matter if they're the Taliban or Al-Qaeda, or Al-Poopy-Doops, they're going to just keep fighting and fighting and fighting.
Al-Poopy-Doops.
Now, this will probably, you know, get people thinking. I went to church Sunday. I took off from work and went to church.
Mm-hmm.
And my minister come off, you know, from down from the pulpit area and stood right in front of us. He says, you know, there's a war on Christianity. And he starts going off. He didn't say anything about Muslims, Islam, or anything like that. And, you know, my wife, I felt her hand go on my leg, because I thought she thought I was going to jump up and take over to tell him,
oh,
yes, there is
yeah,
a war in
yeah,
Christianity.
Oh, I can see your wife doing that. Down,
even
Jim,
right here.
Down,
you know,
Jim.
Like yep. You know, and then when I got home from church, I found a video, and it was showing Christians fighting back. I think they were in Syria. They wiped out 65 jihadists. And, of course, you know, they're saying the same thing, Allahu Akbar, Allah Akbar.
Mm.
And they were dancing on the Muslims. But these were Christians, and I forwarded this to my minister. And, of course, I haven't heard from him since, you know. You know, so I figured maybe he got my message, he saw it, and he understands where I'm coming from about the war on Christianity. I mean, I look at this map I still have hanging up next to my workstation, where Christians are being persecuted, they're being denied basic civil rights, human rights, and yet then God forbid, like we said in the beginning, you say something bad about the Muslims up in Canada, the UK, or the US, my God, you're a racist bigot, religious bigot. And meanwhile, Christians are being slaughtered.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the premise of the show tonight is the issue about this center wanting to build a community within a very well-established community, a very welcome community in Thornhill, Ontario, Jim, and it bothers me. And that the Jaffrey Center, they want to build these, I call them low-rises, but they're 17 stories, so, I mean, that would equate high-rises. And they want to build condominiums, and they say that the elderly, it would be a nice little center. There would be nice little centers for the elderly, and everybody is welcome. But we know that it's not the case because
they drive them out.
The Jaffrey, yeah. they want to turn it into a they are designing it into a Muslim only center, and this is absolutely ridiculous. And when I was talking about the Jaffrey Center, Jim, my friend Blazing Catfer, and I put the link in the chat room for everybody. He posted this. Friends of Simon Wiesenthal Center praises York Region Police for placing Thornhill, Jaffrey Center, and Toronto East End Madrasa on notice, and noting leaders are responsible for anti-Semitic content. And he goes on to say, unlike the beliefs of the ancient Romans, the Jews, and the Nazis, Islam is not restricted to a certain community of certain race, but is for all human beings and aims at human prosperity and salvation. And this is what I, you know, I always say that when we criticize Islam, we're called racist. And so, you know, this kind of exonerates us. The Jaffrey Center said that Islam is not restricted to a certain community or certain race. So I got that one right there. But they have been indicted in that they have been engaged in anti-Semitic activities, and that now they want to build the center for Muslims only within Thornhill, Ontario. Jim, my goodness, my question to you about that is, how do we combat that? Because they're working within the confines of the Canadian Constitution and our Canadian laws. And the human rights commissions. Like,
well, I would put it this way. Okay, you want to have your Muslim-owned community. Well, then let's build some Christian churches in the sandbox country you came from. And if we can't, you can't. Plain and simple. You know, they talk about, oh, they're a peaceful people. They want to, you know, kumbaya and hug each other. Well, then let the what's left of the Christian community throughout the Middle East start building some new churches and live in peace. Until then, screw you. Take a freaking hike. You're not going to get it until we see something coming out of your part of the world where you hate just about everybody who isn't a Shiite or a Sunni. And that's it. I mean, we got to turn the tables. I mean, since they're using our freedoms against us, we should sit down and say, okay, well, that's what they want. Well, that's discriminatory. Just like you said, what you just read, that's discriminatory. We're going to fight you. We're going to take you to court and tie you up in court.
Mm-hmm.
Have the government involved, government lawyers, and they're going to have to get the monies to fight. That's it. I mean, litigation, you know, and just keep at it. You know, I mean, and just use the freedoms that our parents' generation fought for and defended. Now it's time to turn the table and let's go by the law, by the book. Okay, you want this area for yourselves? Okay, this is the code. You can't have this, you can have that. You know, I mean, give and take, blah, blah, blah. But you watch them like an eagle. But yet then, you know, the bottom line is they're going to scream discrimination, and then, of course, the useless UN gets involved. It's just like the UN there when Angola signed off, no mosque are to be built in Angola. The UN then turned around and had the audacity to tell the ambassador from Angola at the UN, you better reverse that law. Well, if you take, I don't have a map in front of me, of course, but if you take a map of Africa and you look at North Africa, Tunisia, Libya, Chad, Sudan, Egypt, then work down a little bit further, it's all Muslim controlled. And then you got countries like Angola, South Africa, Rhodesia. I mean, oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't being politically correct. Zimbabwe, they're holding off. Yeah. You got Mozambique, which is slowly sliding into the pits, the bowels of Islam. And you know, and they just showed it the other day. It was yesterday on the BBC News. In the Congo, the Republic of the Congo, they elected a woman president. Now, this was on the BBC last night, and the guy said, this is kind of a graphic video. We're giving you a warning. So this woman says, I'm not going to tolerate anything, you know, through translation. So after she gave her speech, off she goes in her motorcade. Don't you think the soldiers broke ranks, and they grabbed this one guy. They suspected he's a Muslim. And it was kind of graphic because they were stabbing him, beating him with rifle butts, stomping him and everything else. But yet then, I look at the poor Christians up in Nigeria. What's happening to them? Churches are being built?
And I was speaking with Dr. Bill Warner. He was a guest on my other program, and that's the Freedom Loving Infidels that Tim Burton and myself do on Radio Jihad Network. And I brought that up to him. He was talking about the burning of Christian churches, and I said, "Yeah, well, you know what? The Christians are still inside."
Yeah. And they're starting to fight. They've been fighting back, but not as strong as, you know, I'd like to see them fight. But they're starting to stand up and say, the heck with it. But, like, you know, like I said, you got this place that wants to be built up in your backyard, all right? And you're talking, how many stories high? Now, hypothetically, you know, here I go off the wall, my scenario. Well, you got something that tall. Okay, Ahmad, come here. Daddy wants to show you how to scope in on somebody, all in the name of Allah. You know, you'll die, son, but you'll go to paradise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I look at the worst case scenarios sometimes. You know, and you know when you hear this, it's just like some of these.
Well,
we
have to, Jim.
We have them in
worst case scenario, absolutely.
You know, we got them in Oregon. They're down in Virginia. With their compounds, you know, they won't let you. I mean, I forget what news station was trying to drive up to the one in Oregon, and they were denied access. You know, there's a guy there with an AK, and I'm saying to myself, what the hell is this? What happened to my country? Who the hell are these people coming in, wearing their bed sheets, pants, and their bed sheets over them? You know, telling us you can't come here. Well, we didn't ask you to come here. So you better watch out, pal, because we're going to put the screws to you one way or another.
Oh, yeah, and this is what I'm trying to avoid, and this is what you know, the premise of the program tonight. And, you know, it really disturbs me that these organizations, these Islamic organizations, are getting away with it. And Jim, I want you to think about this one for me as well, that in November of 2012, the organization, they lodged the complaint. Actually, it was the Friends of Simon Wiesenthal Center for Holocaust Study, the organization which lodged the complaint with police in 2012, is pleased to learn the Islamic Shia Ithna Ashari Jamaat of Toronto, or ISIJ, was tied to the Jaffery Center in Thornhill, Ontario, and the Toronto East End Madrasa, that they have been put on notice by the York Region Police that the anti-Semitic hate contained in their school curriculum is not acceptable. And they were reassured by the YRP report suggesting Canadians must examine our level of tolerance for allowing such offensive ideology, that is in conflict with our country's core values to be taught to our children. And this is the same damned organization that wants to build a Muslim-only community in Thornhill, Tim. I get really frustrated when I read about this. They were teaching anti-Semitic literature in their madrasas, and this is absolutely unacceptable.
Well, it's like the madrasas
this
down here in Virginia.
This should not be allowed.
No,
yeah.
It's the same thing. I mean, and guess who's supplying them? The Saudi government with the billions
mm-hmm.
and billions that they get from you and me that drive cars, because the United States, at least, is still sucking oil from them, and they're pulling the
yeah.
strings on Obozo here and every
yeah.
other president in the past. When we can get that Keystone Pipeline from Canada coming down, and we'd be all set. But yet then, our greedy oil
oh, yeah.
companies, they don't want to drive down the price of oil because they won't make the $10 billion profits that ExxonMobil made in one quarter. They made over $10 billion
yeah.
in one quarter there last year. But, you know, I mean, until we can stop getting Saudi oil, because, you know, like the Saudi government says, well, we can't control private contributors. Oh, baloney. You know, they know who's doing what and when and where. I mean, that's such a restrictive government over there. And they fund all these things here. They got, like I said, you know, madrasas up there in Canada, down here
uh-huh.
in the United States. During the war in Yugoslavia, even the moderate, so-called moderate Muzzies over there in Bosnia and Albania, where the Albanian Liberation Army was fighting out of to get back that peace there of Kosovo, they didn't like what the Saudis were demanding. Well, we'll give you this, but you got to do
yeah.
this for us. You know, they want new mosques. We'll give you the money to build them, but you got to, you know, chase out the Serb Orthodox Christians. You got to chase out the Croat Christians. You know, I mean, I don't know what
oh, yeah.
Saudi Arabia has over my country anyway. But like I said, you know, they'll fund this. They'll funnel money up to that group up there in Canada that wants this, and they'll never run out of money to fight this through legal means. But, you know, I mean, that's it. I mean, it's like, you know, why? I mean, why does it have to be only Muslims only? I mean, like I said, I wish it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. Exactly, and that's it right there. And like I say, they want to move their way around. And just getting back to this story by Blazing Catfer, and the curriculum that they were teaching in the high schools included a topic on the end of Jewish plots and treacheries, which was being taught to our children, and their minds are being poisoned. You know, this is what happens, and I'm going to turn this a little 180, Jim, but
okay.
It's generalizational jihad. That's how I coin it. I probably just created a neologism, but it's generalizational jihad in that this is happening right under our noses in Canada, the United States, Australia, New Zealand, the United Kingdom, Switzerland, all over the place. In that generational jihad is going on all over the place because they're being taught in the madrasas. And I don't think these madrasas are controlled. And this is the crux of the article that I'm excerpting from, but What is happening is unbelievable. And now what they want to do, and this same organization, and this is the Jaffrey Center in Thornhill, Ontario, they want to create a Muslim-only enclave within a well-established Jewish community. And there's a difference between an enclave and a community, people. And a community is welcoming and opening, which Thornhill is, but an enclave is pretty much like a no-go zone. But Jim, what do you think about that? When we read these reports in which students are attending their classes and they're being taught courses about this sort of thing, this just makes my stomach turn. It's very distressing.
Well, it is. It's just like, you know, I've said before, like, you know, if you got kids, grandkids, and they're being exposed to this cult and its brainwashing of how evil the Western world is. It's up to the parents, the aunts and uncles who care about life, liberty, and prosperity and freedom to turn this around against them. Well, gee, my daddy told me that Islam has been slaughtering people since, 1200, and you haven't stopped. Do you support that, Mr. Iman? This is it. You hit them with facts, and they don't like it. I mean, since Mecca and Medina, they've been killing people since, and they haven't stopped. And they're not going to stop until they think they're going to have their worldwide caliphate, which they're not. Because people are standing up. Like it said in the chat room, the Buddhist monks now are taking things in their own hand in Thailand and in Burma. Very small populations, but once they get indebted, like we said before, you get one neighbor, he's nice and friendly too, and it's okay. Then all of a sudden you get five, six, and next thing you're getting the middle finger from them, you infidel bastard.
absolutely.
You teach the kids, you let them go. I mean, if they're not in the madrasa, but especially the public school system down here in America, it's going down the tubes with this Common Core crap and everything else.
Oh, God.
But you teach
core.
Your kids,
oh,
whatever
grief.
Your kid is being taught in school, it seems like you have to teach the opposite. Well, the teacher said we don't have to say the Pledge of Allegiance because it's evil. Well, ask your teacher why. Explain to me, why is it evil? Or it's just like how some people wanted to have the national anthem not being sung or, change it to something else. Okay, how about America the Beautiful? You've got to counteract on a scale that, you throw questions at these people where they're confused. It's just like, we're a peaceful people. Well, I think it's in Surrey 839 or 398. Kill them all until they become Muslims. And there was no religion but Islam. Now, that's real peaceful. Then, of course, my friends, when I have said that more than once at work, they'll come back, well, look at Christianity. I say, hey, look how the Jews were in the Old Testament. I mean, the Bible has its period, and that's why, as I said before, I don't want to get off topic, but that's why Christ came. Hey, let's sit down and stop this. And, of course, then you had the Crusades.
Oh,
everybody wanted Jerusalem.
Jim, you're totally on topic. You're flowing right into the topic matter of the issue tonight. And you're right in that when people come to me and they say, well, look at Christianity and Judaism and what they did, is that, well, I always say that we evolved. For example, as a Christian, we adopted the New Testament, the King James Version, and Judaism did as well. But Islam has not evolved. That is the issue. I'm so sick and tired of that old, tired argument in that, look what the Christians did and the Jews did. No, we evolved. And I like what Bigfoot just said in the chat room. The Israelites were violent in parts of the Old Testament, the key word being were. And
were.
That's true, Bigfoot. Yeah.
And if, as you just said, Islam will never evolve. They're stuck in the 7th century look at how they treat their women. Now, you figure you've got this enclave that wants to be built up there, and how do you think they're going to treat their women? Isn't that discriminatory? Hey, Canadian government, isn't that discriminatory how they're going to treat their women or their wives, plural?
Yeah.
Where's the law? Are they going to apply that law to them? I'm just waiting down here. I know up in Dearborn, Michigan, we have a very large population of them, but so far, it's been low-key. You have Christian groups going up there telling them to repent, and then it gets a little ugly. But yet then I think it was last year or 2 years ago, Detroit police had to turn a blind eye to it, what was going on,
absolutely.
If people just don't want to pay attention, They don't want to understand. Oh, it's just like, you know, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but everybody, let's
go
just
for
all,
it.
Like Rodney King said, can't we all just get along?
Yeah.
Well, we can't, because somebody else wants to cut my head off with a scimitar because I don't want to believe what they believe. You know, I don't care what your religious preference is. If you believe in anything or not, that's up to you, you know. But I'm not having somebody come into my neighborhood and tell me, well, okay, we outnumber you. Now this neighborhood is going to be Islam. You know, screw you, pal. Take a hike. You know, I'll put up the Christian flag and fly it. You know, of course, my attitude right now, people saying, you call yourself a Christian? Let's put it this way. I like to consider myself a Knights Templar after Jacques de Molay.
Oh, you're a man after my own heart.
All right. The Jacques de Molay and the Knights Templars, they fought tooth and nail, and they were sold out and screwed by the Pope. Not so much the Arabs, because the Arabs had a lot of respect for them, because they stood there and fought on the island of Malta and Jerusalem and various other parts in the Middle East. But no, I'd like to consider myself a militant Christian. I believe and accept Christ as my Savior, but of course here I am talking bad about a religion that he doesn't want me to, but yet then this religion wants to put the sword to you, the people in the chat room, and everywhere else in the world as you see. I mean, look, they're threatening over there in Sochi there at the Olympics. I mean,
oh yeah,
people just, you know, I think too many people got their heads up the anal canal there. You know, they just refuse, or they're just ignorant to understand what it's about, you know?
Oh, Jim, I totally agree. We are down to our last 15 minutes, but, and once again, I'm going 180 on you. I want to remind people that you're listening to Jim from Boston, and Jim was instrumental in helping me through my program with the Boston bombings. And Jim, I want to ask you that Zucker Tarnoff, he's facing the death penalty now. The federal prosecutors have gone ahead and filed that if convicted, which he will be, of course. He's pleading not guilty, by the way, folks. But the federal prosecutors are seeking the death penalty. And I want to know how you feel about that.
No. I don't want him to get the death penalty.
Okay.
Because it'll cost me as a taxpayer and everybody else too much money. You put him in the Supermax in Colorado. No radio, no TV are there. He's limited what he can read, 3 squares a day, and out of the cell 1 hour a day. That's it. Let himself be his own death master of death. He'll hang himself. He'll do something. But the death penalty, you know, I used to be very pro-death penalty, but then I stop and think, you know, put somebody away, and where you find out where they are, every year on that anniversary date, you send them a letter, a newspaper clipping, and then you tell that person whatever the crime that they did, well, I'm sucking up this beautiful, fresh air, this cool, crisp New England air that Canada's sending down to freeze my ass off, and I'm enjoying life. I went out today and I did this. This is how you drive them, and this is what should be done. It sounds crazy, but, you know, that's my way of thinking. No death penalty, put him away, but at least everybody who wants to write to him, hey, Joha, this is what I did today. Oh, it was so marvelous outside. And let his mind start to run around.
Oh,
and like, you know what I'm trying to say? I think I'm making my point.
I'm of two minds, and the chat room, they're of two minds as well. Well, actually, no, they're not. I mean, Sarah Bella says, yep, let them suffer in life. And Agador is saying, no, just let it go. I'm of two minds myself, personally. I don't know what to do with this character, and that he killed 3 people and wounded 200 more.
Yeah, it was 4 people they murdered.
It was 4.
4, yes.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean,
I don't know what...
I lost a cousin to a bombing. I think I mentioned this once to you before, back in the 70s during the war.
Jim, you have.
And they went to Canada. They went to Canada, the Armstrong brothers, David
and
Seth Armstrong.
That's right.
And
yes.
Canada wouldn't return them unless they were not going to get the death penalty. They came back to the States, of course, got sentenced to 25 years, served less than 7 years. So, I mean, the death penalty, it could take 20 years. I mean, the federal death penalty, they've only executed three people, and it takes decades. So until then, you know, if you find out what prison the scumbag is in, I think we should be able to write to him, hey, this is what I did. It was so beautiful out. Smell the flowers. How is it stinking in that Supermax prison, you scumbag, you know? You know, just let his mind...
Yeah, and let's just keep him in solitary confinement. Let's torture him. But one thing that we should do then, if he's not going to receive the death penalty, well, I mean, like the federal prosecutors are, you know, gunning for that, and pardon the play on words, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that as a pun, but let him sit in his cell 23 hours a day where he only gets out 1 hour a day to shower or exercise or whatever, but do not give him his internet. Do not give him his newspapers. Do not give him his TV, anything like that.
Not
maybe,
that. I mean, well, of course, the Supermaxes,
you know,
they don't get that anyway, thank God, you know.
Oh,
thankfully,
they don't. They do.
No, they
do in Canada.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
They showed the Supermax in Colorado, what they go through. And I think I'd hang myself. That's the bottom line. I don't know if they changed.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, let him go slowly insane in a 4x6 cell. You know, I have no problems with that. He's young. He's
because
a young man.
Yeah, if you was to execute him, which, you know, I see some people, yeah, let's fry him. All that's going to do is inspire somebody else, and then somebody else. You put him in prison, they'll forget because, okay, you know, that's it. But I think sometimes when in such a high-profile case like this, if he was to get the death penalty, which would take, like I said, years, and you do fry him, they'll remember that. But if you just lock him up and put him away, keep him in this Supermax for so many years, okay, let's move him here, let's move him there. You know, the rest of the ragheads will forget about him to a certain degree. I'm not going to say they'll totally forget him because you always have those that will remember. And, you know.
Oh, yeah, but... Yeah, what I want to see, and I have discussed this on Jeff's program at the EDL radio show, and we've had a round table about this, is that if this ever happens again, if we have an incident like this, and especially if we find a jihadist in our midst, is that we do not only deal with them, but we deal with their families, and we forfeit their homes. And we deport the entire family. We have to start getting kinetic as well.
Yeah, I mean, we have to put the hammer down. I mean, it's just like, you know, his mother, he's a good boy. I mean, welcome to the United States. We give you welfare. We give you an apartment. And this is how you pay us back.
Exactly.
You know, she should never, ever be allowed to step foot in this country again. And since this...
Oh, absolutely, and she won't.
Since this
we know that she's quite barking mad, and she's very proud of her little Shahid there. And
well,
when this kid dies...
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, I'm sorry. When this kid kicks off one way or another, if he gets shafted in prison one way or another, you bury his body someplace because he is a U.S. citizen... Bury his body someplace and tell the parents, no, you still can't come in here. No, you still can't have the body, you know, just to piss them off. You know, I mean, you got to draw a line in the sand. I mean, I think of Benghazi, what happened to those four brave Americans, how Obozo and the Wicked Witch of the East there from the Hamptons let them go, sacrifice them. I mean... It's time that we stop this political correctness this cool. I mean, it'd be great if we all could get along. I mean, let's face it. I think everybody just wants to live in peace. I mean, there's no ands or some buts about it.
Oh, yeah, Jim, absolutely.
But,
and
you know what?
I really want you to come back again because I really miss you on the Friday programs. You're my mainstay.
Yeah, because I was going to call you last Friday, but my sister-in-law called up. The mother living with her and her family, and they thought she was having a stroke. Because I wanted to call, but we had to get on to Brockton. It's like about a 45-minute drive from us. And what it turned out to be was a TI, what they call a TIA.
A
little mini stroke, you know, because like my sister-in-law was saying, her mouth started caving down and she was shaking and everything. She was really confused. And, you know, she thought it was a stroke. She called us up and boom. But, no, I'd be more than happy to come back again on a Friday night. This has been great, you know. And like I said, I like reading what the chat room folks have got to say. And I always say,
it's been going crazy tonight. I mean, boy, we have the most wonderful chatters going on here tonight, Jim. It has been absolutely fantastic. But, God bless to your family. For goodness sake, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so, I mean, thank God it wasn't a major stroke. It was what they call TIA. I forget the medical term it's called, but it's TIA. Here we go. Somebody just put it up there for me. Sarah Bella put it up there. Transient.
She is so fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you, yeah.
Something else I want to do is that our dear friend Sue from New Mexico, she has been ailing quite a bit this week, and she's been ailing for quite a while, but it's acute this week. And so, everybody, can you please say a prayer for our beautiful Sue from New Mexico?
I think I heard her once on here.
Oh, yeah. What I do is that usually on my Friday night programs, I phone into the program, and Sue is here already, and I have a little private chat with my sweet Sue from New Mexico, and I chat with her, and she's not here tonight, and I know she's been ailing. So everybody, pray for Jim's family and pray for Sue from New Mexico, because believe me, these people mean the world to all of us. Jim?
Yeah, I'm still
thanks
here.
Thanks so much.
Well, thanks a lot. And
thank
I want to
you
say,
so
again,
much
as
for
always,
being
I like
here.
To say, as always, I like to say is God bless each and everyone out there that knows what's happening. God bless Canada and the United States. And like I said, true patriots will prevail over this disease called Islam. There's no ands, ifs, and buts about it.
Absolutely. And Jim, I'll be talking with you very, very soon. Again, I'm so glad that
definitely.
You're back.
Okay, and good night, everybody,
okay.
And God bless everybody out there again. Thank you very much. And, Kel, take care.
Love you,
bye-bye.
Jim. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Have a great night.
Thanks,
and
you too.
And, everybody, thank you so very much for being here and joining me at the RFB, the Red Fox Blogger. And that was Jim from Boston. People, do say your prayers for your loved ones because they're quite needed. And I just want to say that we have an issue on our hands, and we have to take care of it. It's called mass Islamity, and we have to stop the insanity. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great evening.
Keep hope alive.
I know sometimes in life you feel that everything is lost, and that mountain is just too high to climb.
Keep hope.
Well, that's when you gotta dig deep down inside and reach that inner strength you never knew.
Hi. Guess what I did? I played the wrong song. That's my Monday closing song. Here we go, guys.